when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio supporters out there that keep us on the air. I'd also like to say the same greeting to all the new people tuning in. We have a few stragglers come in just about every week that have never listened before. Matter of fact, I got another package today from someone who's kind of like an early listener. But anyway, today, folks, people, today is August the 22nd in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty, 2026. There is no name under the sun in which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. And by the way, people, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio with Sam Bushman and New Cloud Media with Jay Harrison and Lizzie and Jeremiah. It takes a lot of people to keep us on the air, especially when you're an old poot like me and you're very tech unsavvy. But this is a Christian radio show. Anybody that's been listening to it, matter of fact, we don't even call it a show. We call it a broadcast, like Radio Free Europe was in the 50s when I was a kid in the early 60s. We're trying to keep freedom ringing out there as best we can. And, well, you know, as you well know, we always start with a prayer. So, dear people, if you will, just bow your head for us for a minute, and we're going to have a prayer. Almighty Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller, the God of Blood River Radio, I'd like to thank you so much for allowing me and James as his precious son to go to Wetumpka, Alabama last week and come home healthy. And we had such a good time down there. I'd like to thank you, Lord. I'd like to thank you for bringing me in here again to this microphone to battle with our evil, with our evil enemies out there, their sons of their father, the devil. I'd like to ask you to continue to give us the strength, the wisdom, and the discernment to continue the battle. I'd like to, and I thank you, sir, very much. It's an honor, oh Lord, to do battle for you. And Lord, I'd like to ask you one more thing from an old prayer that we've talked about for a long time on this program. If you will, God, do what it takes to knock the scale off the eyes of our fellow white people, to knock some sense in them, oh Lord, to get them where they will stop hating themselves, so they will stop being race traitors, and get back in this battle and help us do battle with the devil, oh Lord, because we don't. As you well know, Lord, this country is going to finish going down. It's 80% down now, Lord. Anyway, Lord, I ask you all this in your precious son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We also go straight to the donors after we say the prayer. We have Sasquatch out there. Sasquatch sent us from the swamps of Florida. Sent us a donation like he always does. Sasquatch has been around for a long time with Blood River Radio, and he also contributed to my St. Jude Heroes Fund. We also have Richard of Florida. He's going to be a new donor. He said he's going to start donating regularly. We have a letter, but I just don't have time to read it. He sent a letter. I've read one letter, but we don't have time to read letters today. We got so much to cover. There's no way I'm going to be able to cover it all, especially after Wetumpka last week. We have Michael from Florida, and we have a new fella, Michael of Philadelphia, PA. Who sent in, get this, people, Michael of Philadelphia, PA, sent in a package just today of authentic photographs from the battlefield, taken from the battlefield in the First World War, in a a couple of them looks like from the Second World War. I have one picture of a handsome looked like a Waffen SS guy. He's in his Wehrmacht uniform, not SS, but what an honor. It's such an honor for somebody to send me that. That's those sacred photographs, but I really love that. We also have Dennis and Pam from Virginia, who they donated. This is so wonderful. They also brought me a quart of the most delicious molasses I've ever had in my life last week when we met down there with Tumka. And let's see, have I left out anybody? It was Biscuit, Sasquatch, Richard of Florida, Michael of Philadelphia. I think that's got it for right now. People, that's pretty much the donors. Listen, I'm trying to think, where do we go from here? There's just so much to cover. But anyway, like I was saying in the introduction here, me and James went down the road last week to Wetumpka, Alabama. The League of the South was there. The Southern Cultural Center. I think the mission was accomplished. There was, as everybody knows, there was some bad blood between those two groups some years ago. But there's people have gotten older, people have gotten sick, and people have decided to do the Christian thing and to get together and try to heal old wounds, try to rebuild burnt bridges. And I think that's what we did. I think we did that. I went away, me and James both went away well satisfied. I believe we accomplished that mission. We all loved on each other as brothers. Brothers I've known for a long time. Hunter Wallace, and Pam and Dennis, Dr. Michael Hill. And Michael Tubbs, one of my very favorite guys, the giant Michael Tubbs. Michael Tubbs even got married down there. People, like I said, there's so much to cover. I really don't know I don't know how we could get this in a week. But what I'm very, very, very excited about, we have some new kids on. And I call them kids. They're like babies to me. One of them down there was actually not 18 years old, I believe, but they probably run from 18 to 30. I'd say their average age is probably 25 or less. But today, we have a fellow named Marshall Anderson. We have Isaiah. And we have Jacob. And these people are from the Southland. Jacob is the head honcho in Virginia, I believe. And I think that that Isaiah and Luke are probably from West Virginia. We also have a fellow. He's not on today, Gunner. I think he's from West Virginia too, but maybe Gunner will be coming on in the future. But I'm going to start leaning on these guys. They're very smart. They're smart as hell. They're dedicated, and I was very, very impressed with their manners. They have such wonderful manners. They treat us old guys with the utmost respect. Anyway, I'm thinking that's pretty much it. Here's the quick outline. We got these guys on from the Southland. With his name, we got them on the first hour. Second hour, we're going to have Paul Fromm coming on. Everybody and his mama knows Paul Fromm. He'll be coming on the second hour. Third hour, Gene Andrews is coming on. And Gene and I are going to cover the history pretty much of Montgomery, Alabama, and just this huge, gigantic significance Montgomery, Alabama had during Lincoln's War, during the War of Southern Independence. So that's pretty much what we're going to do. We still got about a minute before we go to break. We got all that housekeeping out of the way. So before we go to break, I'm going to bring in Marshall Anderson and two of his other buddies. Marshall, how are you doing, brother?
Doing well. It's always a pleasure being on Blood River Radio.
I'm so glad to have you here. And listen, we'll get into the heavy meat of the interview after we go to our first commercial break. But I'd also like to introduce Isaiah. Isaiah, are you guys from West Virginia? Marshall, you're from West Virginia, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
And I think Isaiah, you are too, aren't you?
I'm from Florida.
Oh, you're from Florida. Okay, you're the one from Florida. Okay, I met a bunch of these guys at Wetumpka last week. I'm so glad to have you. And I think y'all told me Jacob was the head honcho of the Southland organization in Virginia. Is that right, Jacob?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have y'all on. With more people we usually have, but we're gonna get this done. Before we go to the break, I'm just gonna ask. We only have a few minutes, but we're gonna make use of every second. I'll start with Marshall. Marshall, how old are you, son? If you don't mind me asking.
I am 22 years old.
That's what I thought. What a child. Okay. I've just got a note just came in. I had to read that right quick, like y'all. But anyway, Marshall, what got you into this? Who started the Southland, and why did y'all start it?
Well, I founded Southland, but I just couldn't stand to see what was going on in this country anymore, and I realized that somebody had to kind of step up and start leading these young men to make a change in what was going on. So I figured, hell, if nobody else wants to do it, I'll do it.
Well, as you might be able to hear it, there is the signal, the music for our first commercial break. We're going to a commercial break. It's going to be a short one, about 90 seconds, no more than 2 minutes or so. But we'll be right back, folks. Now, don't leave. We're going to introduce these young and upcoming guys. I'm really excited to have them on. Be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory. Some folks are
born made. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. I'm so very excited. I hadn't come down all the way from the trip we took with Tomka last week. My little spirit son, James Edwards, called me about 45 minutes ago. We talked about family matters and just how much it meant for us to be able to take that trip down to Wetumpka. You know, as you get married, and of course James has been married for quite some time, you get the kids, he's got three kids, it's extremely hard to get away. It's very expensive. You would not believe how much it costs to go on the road nowadays. Inflation is out of control. But the point is, I'm so very excited. I'm having a really hard time coming down, and to make it even more excitement on steroids, we have three young guys in here, and like I told them when I was down there with Tumka, I've been looking under rocks for young men to bring in to Blood River Radio and to bring them into the so-called movement, but they're already in the movement. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Marshall, and he started his own movement. But anyway, Marshall, before we go, this is answering the questions, I don't want to forget those. I don't want to let you forget to answer the questions, but I'd like to keep Isaiah and Jacob from hanging on too long. I want to let them say a word or two. Isaiah, my brother, how you doing there, my much, much younger brother?
I'm doing great today. I'm very thankful that you had us on today, and I appreciate any opportunity that you will give us.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. It's such a breath of fresh air to get young guys in. Every time I've been going to a meeting of any type, it's usually dominated by old heads like me. Most of them aren't as old as I am, but there's a lot of old guys. We definitely need young blood like you guys. And I was so impressed with the intelligence of every single one of y'all. And I was very impressed with your the epitome of Southern gentleman courtesy and manners. Right quickly before we go to before bringing Jacob in just a second, what got you into the movement? Isaiah?
I was naturally drawn into nationalism when I was younger, specifically when I was through high school, around mid high school. And over the years, I've kind of cultivated the mentality and the need to kind of push towards a new worldview. Because that's the one thing I believe that the modern Western ideals, that they are built on decay, that they are built on hedonism, and that it is very antithetical towards our people and for our development. And that if we are ever as a people going to endure, is that we have to either redefine or deal away with that worldview entirely and develop something natural, something organic. And that's just something in the hearts in minds of any common young man out there that feels alienated within their own country, so they kind of drive towards a new worldview, something that is natural to them.
I tell you, that's people. You see what I mean by these guys being intellectual? So that sounds like a college professor there, young fellow. Well, may I ask how old you are?
I am 21, sir.
21. Wow. I'm twice as age. I'm about twice both of your ages put together. That's a great answer. And before we go back to Marshall, Jacob, they tell me that you are the head of the Virginia chapter of Southland.
Yes, sir. That's the case.
So are you one of the old heads? Are you like 25 or so? Or how old are you?
Yes, sir. I'm 25.
I just guessed. What an old man. Well, God bless you. What got you into this stuff? What got you into becoming a participant, in your own words?
Well, I don't know if I can top Isaiah there, but I was just tired of being a second-class citizen in the country we built.
That's about as good as an answer you could get. That sounds straight up bombardier. It really does. But we'll do this best we can. And I'm going to ask Marshall to give his answers to some questions I asked him the other day. Then I'm going to try to turn it over if I can. I've done this before. I'm going to try to let Marshall run the rest of the interview asking Jacob an Isaiah question. Is y'all can carry on like a little round table, but I'm going to try that. But before we do that, if you will, Marshall, repeat the questions that I ask you and give the answers, if you don't mind.
I think the main question you asked me was, what do I think is the greatest threat, you know, the greatest problem we have to our people right now? And I think that's a very intriguing question, because I think a lot of people want to jump to blaming external problems. And while those are a major factor as well, the change we want to see in this country has to begin in ourselves, the young white Christian men. Many young men have completely lost their sense of identity, direction, and their faith in God. And for us to begin to properly combat this evil that seeks to destroy us, we must first remember who we are. You know, just as the Confederates of old looked to the Revolutionary War heroes for the standard of men to aspire to be, we must also look back at our ancestors and the caliber of men that they were. That is why they demonize them so much in the media, is to try and destroy the young white people's sense of identity and of cultural continuity. You have to know where you came from to know where you're going. And, you know, I'm very happy to say, I think within our group, I've already seen very positive changes and the mentality of our guys, but it's important we keep pushing to influence the rest of the young guys out there to be strong and be faithful to their people, and most importantly, faithful to God. And only once we have built ourselves up will we be able to stop the Marxists and the Jews and their lies. The hardest part of the battle, it begins within yourself, and a lot of young guys need to go out there and start taking initiative.
That's a great answer. And before I run the things, I do this by the seat of my pants. I want to ask you a question while I've got you, and the other two fellows can give their answer. In the past, and it hadn't been many years ago, and even to right nowadays standards, most of the men your age, you're so very young. They couldn't wait to go join the Army Rangers, the Marine Corps, et cetera. They wanted to fight for their country, salute the flag. What do you think? I mean, how would you compare, your country today? And this leads to a question. And all you guys be thinking about this, because as time permits, I'm going to ask each one of y'all that y'all answer this question in your own words, the best we can. Personally, and I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend you guys, but other people that are like they woke, these self-hating, there's race traitors, so to speak. I don't give a damn about insulting them. When I look at the so-called American flag nowadays, guys, it just makes me want to vomit. And look, keep in mind, like I was drafted in '67. I was a combat medic, and I don't have what I have two honorable discharges. So I think I've earned the right to say this. I carry scars. I spit on that current of the government that current flag stands for. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I've the stars and bars, even the swastika is going to be my flag. And I'll tell you, and with that statement, I hope it doesn't piss you guys off. But with that statement, Marshall, how do you feel about the recent announcement of the IDF, the Jew-Israel military, supposedly being put in together, it's been inculcated into law, it's been merged with the United States military, and I'm going to end with this right here. That was a question. I'm going to ask y'all how y'all feel about that, and would you still serve if you got called up? And secondly, I'm going to add this statement here. That's not a new thing. The Jews, a.k.a. Israel, have run the United States military probably for as long when I was drafted in '67. That's been going on for what they did. They just announced it right now, and it wasn't a merger, guys. It's letting us know that they've taken over. There is no United States military anymore. We have a Jewish Israeli military. That's just the bombardier's outlook. I'm going to ask you your quick opinion as fast as you can, Marshall, and how do you feel about the militaries being so-called merged, and what would you do if you got your draft notice? Go ahead, Marshall.
I think it's completely despicable, and I think the government no longer represents the wishes of the people, especially my people, the Southern people. There is absolutely no reason that, for example, we should be drafted to go and fight these foreign wars that benefit nobody but these large oil corporations and the Jews and the international, all these international companies. It's ridiculous that young white Southern men should go out there and have to die for a government that no longer represents our wishes and hasn't since probably about, before the Civil War, since the 1850s is when it really started to begin.
Could not agree more. Zaza, give us your take on it, brother.
I believe that the United States government, the American Empire, has been kind of planning this for a very long, long time. For even in its early imperial stages, it has been financially enabled by the Rothschilds, basically all these Jewish banking firms and families that kind of operated the strings for quite a while. And now that they actually have a state, we kind of drifted towards funding this entity for a while. We even gave them a lot of our intelligence, a lot of our military blueprints and stuff like that. So they've been acting as this entity that knows everything about how our country operates, how our country functions. And part of that is due to them implementing their worldview.
We have to go to our bottom of the hour break, son. Do not bookmark your spot. We're going to go right back to you after this bottom of the hour break. This is a long break. Guys, you need to go use the restroom, get you some coffee or something. Feel free to do it. You got about 4 minutes.
A exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. The U.S. and Canada continue to wrangle over trade and tariffs, with the U.S. targeting $20 billion worth of Canada's goods for 50% tariffs. Right away, Canada came back with what Prime Minister Mark Carney said would be a dollar-for-dollar response on U.S. goods. The Energy Department is investing $500 million to modernize a major steel facility in Middletown, Ohio. Correspondent Richard Boyd reports.
The Trump administration says the project will protect 2,300 American jobs and strengthen the domestic supply chain. Cleveland-Cliffs plans to upgrade its blast furnace, generate electricity from mill gases, and recycle industrial byproducts. Supporters call it a step toward restoring U.S. manufacturing and reducing dependence on foreign suppliers, while acknowledging taxpayers shouldn't have to subsidize the industry forever. Richard Boyd reporting.
Some war observers believe that President Trump's words could be nearly as influential as military force in challenging Iran's ruling regime. Ken Lorman reports.
Analysts say President Trump should spotlight the mullah's brutality, corruption, and hypocrisy, including the privileged lives of regime elites abroad. They argue that stronger communication tools, including efforts to bypass internet blackouts, could help Iranians organize and resist. Supporters believe exposing Tehran's propaganda may be critical to turning public anger into a movement for freedom. Ken Lorman reporting.
New CDC figures highlighted by the Trump White House reveal a 22% drop in overdose deaths, particularly from synthetic opioids in 2025, nearly 49,000 in 2024. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Eld here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most: whether it works and whether you can trust it. Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear their stories. Doug took Relief Factor for a year before convincing his wife, a special needs teacher, to try it. She'd been using assistance just to move through the long hallway at school. Now she's back on her feet and never had to leave the job she loves. I take Relief Factor every single morning for back issues. I don't take Relief Factor, the issues come back. It's easy to find out if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor gave you back what you love. 3 weeks, just $17.76. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team, and they will do everything they can to help. We hope you'll soon be sharing your story with us. Relieffactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you very much for holding on. We don't usually do things like this with this many guests, but I'm so glad we could do it. We got these, just in case you're just tuning in, we have three young fellows going from 20, the oldest to 25, 21, 22, 25. They are from an organization called Southland. It's a very new organization. It would have to be new. These guys are new themselves. They're barely born compared to me, but I'm so extremely impressed with them. And I met them in Wetumpka, Alabama, last week, just in case you're tuning in. We had the Southern Cultural Center had invited all of us people, including yours truly, and all of us League of the, former League of the South members. We're down there. We had the League of the South has kind of morphed into, I think, the Southern Independence Organization. Southern Nationalists, I think, is what it is. I should know. I'm going to join it because I used to be a member of the old League of the South. But that's where I met these fellows. As soon as I saw them, I was immediately impressed with them. I mean, the just incredible manners. It's like manners you see from kids back in the 50s that you don't see anymore. Anyway, we have Marshall, Isaiah, and Jacob on. One of these days we'll get Gunner on, and I talked to him down there. I was really impressed with him, too, but I'm so impressed with all these fellows. I've been asking them some questions, but before I ask them any more questions, Marshall, if you will, or Jacob, whichever one you would like, give us, how can people get in touch? How can they join Southland? How can they contribute, et cetera, et cetera? And also, once you get through saying how they can join, I guess I should have said, what is Southland all about? Give us a synopsis of, you already said a little bit why you start. I tell you what, let's just, Jacob is a head of the Virginia chapter. He's the head honcho. Jacob, why don't you tell us again, maybe to recap, I ask you why you started. How old is the Southland? When did you start it? And I think Marshall started the one in West Virginia. I don't know who started it first, but how long has it been around? What's your ultimate goal? What's the purpose of the organization? I should have already covered that, but go ahead, Jacob. Tell us about that.
It's been around for about a year, and it's like a we all got together and have a common goal of Southern nationalism and Southern independence.
Okie doke. Marshall, are you head of the West Virginia chapter?
I am head of the West Virginia chapter, but I'm also head of the entire organization. So.
Oh, great. Okay. If you will, kind of answer the same question that I asked Jacob. You've already answered some of it. What's your ultimate? I guess the purpose, we pretty much got that. What's your ultimate goal? Where do you see Southland a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now?
Well, you know, it started, like I said, because of a sense of duty. It's like Jackson said, you know, duty is ours, consequences are God's. I feel like the young men of this country, the young men of the South, need to stand up and make themselves represented and make their voices heard. And as well, on top of that, start to build community back between the young men in this country. And once we build that sense of community, we can start to take our identity back.
I remember seeing something about that. And without getting too technical, give us a few tidbits, parts of what you would call building community? Would it be helping old people go to the doctor? Would it be I know this is oversimplification. Working school crossings, handing out literature. What are some of the things y'all do to build this community?
We do all kinds. We do food drives. We hand out literature. It could be something as simple as just helping each other do, construction work on different properties. We have all kinds of things together just to kind of start building back that sense of community. So, and we, you know, working out, we do MMA training as well.
I got you. You know, I noticed there's another organization in Georgia that does that. Oh, well, have you had success in your community outreach of trying to rebuild the community? How much success have you had? Have you had any intangible, palpable success?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's surprising once you just go out and start talking to people, how many people, you know, from what you see on the news, you would think people who think like us are you know, basically extinct. But once you go out in these rural communities of the South and you start talking to the white people out there, you realize our beliefs are so much more common than the media tries to portray. And that the biggest thing is just getting together and organizing. And once you do that, that's the hardest part of the battle. Just getting out there and doing it.
I got you. Now, listen, how can, before we forget, how can people get in touch with Southland Organization? How could they get in touch with you, with Jacob, or with Isaiah? In other words, if some young person who's listening to this radio show, how can they get in touch with you? How can they become a member? How can they contribute, et cetera, et cetera?
Our main form of communication and posting our activism is t.me/SouthlandOfficial. If you go on that page, you can see a lot of the activism we've done. And we also have linked in the bio on that page at our vetting account. And once you message that vetting account, we can bring you in, we give you an interview, and then we can connect you to local members close to where you live and get you involved in that local chapter.
Give us that website one more time.
t.me/SouthlandOfficial.
Also, if anyone didn't get that, or if anyone would like to find out who they are, you can always get in touch with me. You can send me an email, eddie@bloodriverradio.com, and I'll be glad to get in touch with these fellows. I have some of their personal information. Also, I'd like to say hello, tell y'all hello from Dr. Hill, Dr. Michael Hill. I was talking to him last week, and he was excited that we were having you guys on. Probably pretty soon, and I just thought of this, it might be a good idea to get Dr. Hill on to kind of not necessarily interview, but just have a round table talk with you guys and Dr. Hill. Now, also, that's speaking of Dr. Hill, now, isn't he one of your, isn't he a mentor of yours, of you guys with the Southland?
Yes, absolutely. He's, I remember first hearing about him. I was much younger, but I remember seeing Charlottesville on the news, and I began to research Dr. Hill and his work. And about ever since then, about 2017, 2018, he has been a very large mentor in everything that I've done. There's a lot to respect about that man and his bravery and his dedication to our cause for all these years.
I'll tell you what, I've been very impressed with him. I can't remember exactly when I did meet him for the first time, probably with the political cesspool meeting. We had those meetings back, the first big one I remember was back in 2014. Probably had some before that, even though. But you're absolutely right. Dr. Hill, not only is he a physical giant of a man, he's a spiritual, intellectual giant. He didn't get the name, you know, doctor for nothing. But I went to Charlottesville with Dr. Hill. I was very impressed with him. I don't know if you guys met Michael Tubbs. Michael Tubbs was the second in command of the League of the South with Dr. Hill. And then we have Mark Tommy. But I don't know. And this is kind of totally off base, I guess. But what did you think about Michael Tubbs? I'll let the audience know. Michael Tubbs, what a giant. of a man. Every way a man can be a giant. You know, he was Special Forces Army. He's done everything you can think of, the things he can say, things he can't say. But the man got married. I had no idea that he was getting married. This is totally unscripted and kind of weird. But where did you guys think about Michael Tubbs getting married down there? On the spur of the moment, it seemed like.
I thought it was great. I thought it was very beautiful. And I'm sure he was happy to be surrounded by so many men that, you know, have fought side by side with him, shoulder to shoulder for all these years. But for us just coming in, and that was my first time meeting him as well. It was a great ceremony. So I couldn't think of a better place for that to happen. That was a great, great timing.
You know, I wished I could have heard more of the sermons, but my ears were shot. My right ear got blown out when I was 19 years old, and left ear is not much better, but I wish I could have heard this. What I did hear of that minister, Weaver, I don't remember his first name. I thought he did a good job. I could only pick up about every third word because my hearing is so short, so crappy. We'll be going to a break any second. There it is. There's the break, folks. Guys, we'll come back to you. Dear Blood River Radio family, I hope you're enjoying this interview. We still got another segment to go. There's so many things I like to ask these fellows. I feel like I'm tripping over my own tongue. Anyway, we'll be right back, folks. This is the last break. We've got about 90 seconds. They'll be late getting back.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in. This has been a totally unorthodox interview, but you know, all you people know, the Ed Man, the Bombardier, is totally unorthodox. Most of these programs we do, not really by the seat of our pants. We used to make these long. The first couple months that me and Matt Goodwin and Lee Cochran and Jacob Tyler would do this. Bless their heart. I wish they were still on, but they had other things to do and family. You know, they got family and kids and all this stuff. Lee Cochran, bless his heart, he died. But we'd make these plans. We'd never follow them. So what the hell for? Anyway, people, I would just tell during the break, you probably say, why does he keep hammering this IDF thing? But I was just telling our young men during the break, the worst thing that's happened in this United States government, maybe in our lifetime, I don't know, It's when they just openly announce. I'm going to revisit this. I'll do it again. I'm going to revisit it. The interface, the rubbing it in our nose in it, the Israeli military, the Jew military, openly announcing that, and this is what it was, they're saying, we have taken control of the United States military. They did it years ago. They just officially announced it about the past 5 or 6 weeks. They have generals from the IDF sitting in the Pentagon. I tell you, people, they're going to be, well, they're not going to, they already are, they're directing all the military operations of the United States military. They've been doing it for years. Every war we've been in, even since before the Twin Towers debacle, before these guys were even born, most of them, even before that the Twin Towers guys, as you well know, men, brother, excuse me, you're not guys, you're men. I very respect you very much. The whole purpose was that the fellow William Crystal, the Jew who was in with President Bush, and all those other so-called neocons, just when you hear neocon, think Jew or Jew wannabe. He said it. He said, we need a Pearl Harbor type event to get the American people off their butt, to get them into full-blown war mode, to go into the Mideast for the sake of the Jew. Well, I'm going to go to Jacob. Jacob, I don't think I asked you this question. When we see what the Jews have done to us, with the country, every war we've had for, God, since 1948, I would even say it goes as far as Korea, the Korean War, my war in Vietnam, every other war since then, has been at the behest of the Jews running the United States government. They just, and I know I'm repeating myself, but they just announced it, made it official. It's in law now, unless I'm wrong, that the IDF has been merged with the United States military, and then that's just code for, hey, the Jews, the IDF run the United States military. They have generals in the Pentagon. Expand upon that a little bit, Jacob, if you don't mind. Tell us the seriousness of that, and what could we do? Because there's just no way in hell I could see anybody. I would tell you guys, people your age, if you have to fight, do what you have to do. I mean, people say, oh, maybe go to prison. So what? Would you rather go to prison or would you go get your damn arms blown off for the Jews in Israel? But if you will, Jacob, kind of expand upon that, and if you can, do a better job than I did, kind of scatterbrain there. But go ahead, Jacob. What do you think about buddy? And what's your solutions?
I'd like to start off by thanking you for your service and what you did during your time. But like you said, since the late 40s, every war after that was just due to government collusion. I mean, it was completely pointless, and it just benefited nobody but the Jews. While brave white men went off to die, the Jews got rich, and all their buddies got richer. And I think that, you know, if a war were to come up like a draft, or, you know, I'd have to cut off a toe. I'd rather cut off a toe than go die for a Jew. Like you said, get my arms blown off, come back to a country that hates me. I mean, they hate me now. What happens when I go over there and have to come back and deal with, like, what your generation did with Vietnam? Come back home being spit on, mocked, and it's all for nothing other than profit.
You know, and I know people think, why does he keep hammering this? And this is real quick, I go to the VA hospital. I'm going to say 6 months ago, I went to the VA to fill out all these forms to try to get the collection agencies off of me for slow payment to the VA hospital. And I saw other people up there worse shape than me. Leg where a steel rod where your leg used to be. People didn't really know where they were. Their minds destroyed. And I'm thinking, you're really garnishing these guys Social Security checks. Yeah, really. They do. They garnish you their Social Security check for slow payment, non-payment to the VA hospitals. Meanwhile, when I was in New York, we went by some of these really fine hotels, Jacob and Marshall and Isaiah, where under Biden administration, they flew all these blacks in mainly from Haiti, plane load after plane load into cities, all points of the United States. These three, four, five-star hotels, three hots in a cot, free food, the whole free medical care, and yet the veterans that they love so much. They treat us like dogs. And I never play the veteran card. And I never insist I should get this and I should get that. But by God, that just infuriates me when I saw an old fella. At least, I mean, I'm blessed. I'm very healthy. Even all the stuff I've been through, I'm really healthy. Compared to these people up here at the VA hospital, you would not believe how bad off most of them are. But that just really infuriates me. I spit on this government. I spit on that so-called Yankee flag. My motto is here. I don't want to make it all about me, but as you know, General Stonewall Jackson said, raise the black flag, kill them all. And I kind of added this at the end of Vietnam. We said, kill them all, let God sort them out. We have to deal with these people in this government. You don't have to follow my lead. I don't want you guys to get in trouble. But this government we have, it hates us. It despises us. It wants us dead. And if we're dead, they want to defecate on our grave, because we know that the Jews run this government. Everybody and his mama knows it, and they know how they feel about Christian, white, heterosexual men like us. And without making it too much about me, Isaiah, I'd like to go back one more time, and I hope I'm not hammering this thing too much for our listeners, but first of all, Isaiah, if there's anything else that you would like to add to this program, because we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left, you can expand upon what me and Jacob just talked about, or you can bring something else to the forefront, son. But go ahead, son.
All right. As to continue what I said prior segments ago, is that the one way that the Jews have implemented their ideals is that they took their worldview into ours, and their entire worldview consists of subversion. Subverting the ideals of the family, subverting the ideals of race, subverting the ideals of gender. And what they've pretty much done is not only affront of God, but as the affront of nature, is that they believe themselves as revolting against nature. And we all know what the effects of that are. And we see the effects now of how everything has been flipped on its head. And that's why I feel like it's so antithetical for us Southerners, for our Southern folk, is that you cannot create out of destruction. You cannot create out of decay. It has to be something there. And that every black shirt within our organization believes in the philosophy of idealism. You strive towards something above themselves, above self-indulgences, above individualism. We believe in the ideas of nature and natural order, for it is a foundation for any productive worldview. We believe in the ideals of family and nation, that nation, of course, being the Southern folk, and that our people have something to offer both spiritually and physically, and that we are fanatics, for fanaticism is the driving factor for any societal development or change. And the reason why our people suffer partially in this great decline is the lack of fanaticism and care. And I say care as opposed to love or compassion, because those words have different contexts for what I'm saying. I'm saying that we lack the care for the family body. We lack care for the folk, and we lack care for our environment. And that's why it's very antithetical. We need to drive ourselves. We need generative action to drive ourselves to care for our people. We need to drive ourselves to care for our race, for our identity, and for our homeland. And that is both a physical as well as a mental and spiritual revolution.
That's amazing. That's really great. Guys, or men rather, we're almost out of time, but I would like to thank all three of you from the bottom of my heart for coming on Blood River Radio, for giving me hope. When I saw you young fellows down there, and I told James the same way, same thing I told Pam and Dennis and Dr. Hill, I said, this is amazing. And Michael Tubbs, I said, I cannot believe we've always bitched about not having any young people at these meetings. And lolly doggone, we got a bunch of, well, guys, don't hang up yet. Stay on after the break. I got to ask you off some questions. Anyway, dear Blood River Radio people, thank you so much for tuning in. We're getting ready to transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up Paul from But you got about 4 minutes, so you got plenty of time to go use the restroom, whatever you want to do. But don't be gone longer than 4 minutes. Be right back, folks.